Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Wisconsin lawmakers find a kind of sketchy way to pass their anti-union bill. An Oregon school bus driver is fired for flying a Confederate flag. And anti-Muslim Peter King doesn't see his support of the IRA as any kind of a double standard.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, March 10th, 2011. An Oregon school bus driver was fired after he refused to remove a Confederate battle flag flying from his pickup truck, and he's enlisted the help of a conservative civil liberties group in hopes of getting his job back. The Rutherford Institute of Charlottesville, Virginia, sent a letter Wednesday to First Student Bus Transportation Services demanding that Ken Weber of Medford be reinstated. The Institute says flying the flag is covered by his First Amendment right to free speech. Weber says he was fired Tuesday for gross insubordination after refusing to remove the Dixie flag from his truck, which is also emblazoned with the word redneck. The issue at the time is that he parks the pickup in the bus yard, which is on school property.
Oh.
First Student spokeswoman Bonnie Bastian did not immediately respond to calls from news folks.
So it's not like it's on the bus itself. It's on his truck.
It's on his personal truck, but he is parking it on school property.
Is he? If you're a school bus driver, are you an employee of the government?
No, you're an employee of First Student Bus Company.
So you're not actually working for the government. You are working for a private organization,
right,
who can tell you to get bent.
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Well, so that'll just be an added slice of entertainment for all of us. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later in this hour, you get your entertainment news, also Science on the March. Don't forget you can get this program later on the day via iTunes if you like, as well as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. It's also available on your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Dawn Taylor.
New York Representative Peter King says his past support for the Irish Republican Army, long listed as a terrorist group by the U.S. State Department, doesn't pose a double standard for the hearings he will run in order at the House tomorrow on the threat of Islamic radicalism. The Republican, who is chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, has come under scrutiny for his planned hearings on Muslim terrorism in the United States, which critics have described as a witch hunt. Some have called King's plans hypocritical, given his support for the IRA, which used violent tactics in the 1980s and 90s to drive the British out of Northern Ireland. But in an interview with the New York Times, King referred to the IRA as a legitimate force in battling British repression. When asked about the comparison between the IRA and Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, King said, "I understand why people are misinformed, might see a parallel. The fact is, the IRA never attacked the United States."
Yeah, they didn't really blow things up.
Well, they never attacked the United States, see. So it's okay to be a terrorist, apparently, as long as you're blowing other people up.
You know who's not a terrorist for some reason? I was just thinking about this the other day. You know we don't call a terrorist is that what's his guy? Jared Loughner, the guy in Arizona that shot everybody. Why isn't he a terrorist?
I don't know, because if it had happened a few years ago, they would have been calling him a terrorist. They were calling the Columbine kids terrorists.
Well, the Columbine kids weren't motivated by anything political. Jared Loughner was shot a politician that he had been screaming about and ranting about and raving about and posting angry blog messages about forever. It was directed at a politician, and not just because like she got in front of him when he was trying to buy some stamps or like she got the last parking lot at the mall. He was targeting a politician because she was a politician and because of her political beliefs with which she disagreed. So that is kind of the classic, that is the textbook definition of a terrorist.
It's probably for the same reason that Peter King does not consider the IRA terrorists.
White.
They are white people.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrorists are brown people, Rick Emerson.
I'm sorry. I know.
Come on.
I keep forgetting. Who can tell anymore?
Speaking of Jared Loughner, he appeared in federal court yesterday, where he pled not guilty to 49 charges related to the Tucson shooting spree that killed 6 and injured 12 in January. Loughner's attorney, Junie Clark, did most of the talking. Loughner spoke only when asked if his name was Jared Loughner. Loughner smiled, stared, and sometimes grinned widely during the proceedings, according to the Washington Post, which were witnessed by at least a dozen relatives of shooting victims and two survivors of the attack. Attorneys for the prosecution requested that Loughner's mental health be evaluated. Certainly every murder is irrational, but this is more irrational than most, said the lead prosecutor.
He's just got those big, swirly, dark, vacuumy Charles Manson eyes. There's just a whole lot of nothing there. It's not even that there's nothing. There's just... There's some sort of other parallel world lurking just behind his ocular nerves. There's a whole lot of...
A chasm of crazy.
There's a whole lot of strange going on inside that guy.
Do you have anything soundy for me today?
Over here for you.
Look at that.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Later on this hour, Science on the March, also entertainment news. Here is Don Taylor.
President Obama. That would be President Barack Obama.
I don't think I've heard of him.
He's the president. His name is Barack Obama.
Excellent.
President Obama and the First Lady, that would be Michelle Obama, are hosting the first ever White House conference on bullying prevention today. Obama recalls being picked on in school.
I have to say with...
Well, the school in Indonesia is difficult.
They said I wasn't American.
I have to say with big ears and the name that I have, I wasn't immune. I didn't emerge unscathed.
Obama expresses his hopes for the conference.
If there's one goal of this conference, it's to dispel the myth that bullying is just a harmless rite of passage or an inevitable part of growing up. It's not. Bullying can have destructive consequences for our young people.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans stunned Democrats late yesterday by suddenly convening to pass an anti-union bill that has had the state's public employees protesting for weeks and set Senate Democrats into hiding in Illinois. Republicans ducked the quorum requirement by stripping the bill of any provisions related to spending. Apparently, this is how it goes. There had to be X amount of people voting on it if it had anything to do with financial stuff.
So they just removed all the financial.
They removed every single word from it that had anything to do with spending, and that meant that the 18 of them could vote on it without the Democrats being there.
You have to give them credit for at least following the letter of the law, as opposed to the Democrats who were actually elected to go to office and serve and then just didn't show up for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. Which, by the way, I'm telling you, is going to come back and bite them in the ass in spectacular fashion next year. Because it's just going to be shots of an empty chair over and over and over again. And that's what happens when you elect Democrats to office. And then they're just going to cut to a chair with the guy's name on it, and it's going to be empty. So the Democrats will have no one, as always, they will have no one but themselves to blame for this.
Yeah, and they can't do anything about it because now the bill is head to the state assembly, which is run by Republicans.
Yes.
So the Wisconsin state employees can pretty much kiss their collective bargaining rights goodbye, which means their union is essentially toothless. There was the vote, by the way, was 17-1. There was actually one lone Democrat who voted against the bill and basically just said, well, I voted my conscience and the desires of the constituents that I represent. So at least, and you know, at least one of them was actually doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Well, see, but people say that, but I don't really know that that's true, because I don't really know that you're supposed to support the desires of your constituents. What if your constituents are racist pinheads?
Well, I think the idea is if your constituents are racist pinheads, then you do what they want, and then but you don't kowtow to them if the bulk of your constituents are not racist pinheads.
I don't know. I think if your constituents say that they don't want gay marriage and you think you should have gay marriage, then I mean by that rationale, then we shouldn't have gay marriage in this country because it's still unpopular with the majority of people. So
okay,
the idea that you're supposed to do whatever you know a group of unwashed knuckle draggers tell you to do just doesn't really.
This democracy thing is a double-edged sword, Rich Gamerton.
The best part is that somebody just typed in the text box, "I'm brown," followed by a frowny face.
Oh.
Sorry, better luck next time, sir. you're listening to Legion of News here at KID. There's nothing that can be helped about it now. I'm sorry. It's just a bad spin of the karmic wheel for you. I, on the other hand, am I'm a 38-year-old white male and as such the most valuable person on earth.
Yes.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us later on this hour. Entertainment news, science on the march, and whatnot. Next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, the Rick Emerson radio program. You can hear that at RickEmersonShow.com after a brief musical interlude at the end of today's Legion of News episode, which continues now with Don Taylor.
Now, it is now legal to carry guns in Clark County public parks.
Woohoo!
Picnics will be much more festive, I'm sure. Commissioners amended the county code Tuesday to allow pistols, shotguns, and concealed weapons in all county parks. It's an important issue to folks, and they've made that aware to us, and we need to comply with state law and make sure that our signs and our codes and policies reflect state law, explained Clark County Parks Director Pete Mayer.
To what folks is it really important? Like, whose family picnic is going to be ruined if they can't carry, like, a Glock with them?
Mine.
Okay. Well, fair enough, then.
A gun rights advocate asked last year that the code be updated to align with state law, allowing open carry in a non-threatening manner. It is still illegal to carry a bow and arrow, crossbow, slingshot, BB, and pellet guns and other weapons unless in a target range.
Are there a lot of people demanding to carry BB guns and crossbows to the park?
I know my last family picnic, we were all bummed that we could not bring our crossbows.
Jesus. Where does one even buy a crossbow?
Or slingshots.
Is that a thing you can just go to, like, can you just go to a Walmart and just ask them to outfit you with a crossbow?
It would be Crossbow World out on 82nd.
Is that a thing do you have to order that through the mail or build it yourself? Or is that one of those deals like where they won't sell you the amyl nitrate unless they call it VCR head cleaner, so you got to buy the crossbow and you got to claim it something else. You got to claim it's to claim it some sort of a woodchuck trap.
Yeah, it's a rat extermination device or something.
It's a strange world in which we live.
A woodchuck trap. The curator of the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum says he's in the final days of a very special mission. They are trying to get the Discovery shuttle for the Evergreen Aerospace Museum. On April 12th, NASA will announce the names of three museums honored with the retirement of the space shuttle. It is believed that Discovery, which flew its final flight on Wednesday, will head to the Smithsonian, so that makes them sad at Evergreen. But the Enterprise, Endeavor, and Atlantis are still apparently up for grabs.
Now, Evergreen isn't that place. Where is Evergreen at?
Out in McMinnville. It's the place where the Spruce Goose is.
Is that what that place is called? Because I've driven by there. I've never gone inside. I've driven by there, but I didn't know that was the name of it. Because you can see the Spruce Goose from, like, miles away. Because that place is just a big glass building. We had a listener of ours in front of us. His son had his bar mitzvah there, and I was, which is awesome, by the way.
That would be a great place for a bar mitzvah.
Seriously, and I wasn't able to go, unfortunately. I was out of town, but he's got the, but his daughter has got the And she probably, see, and it's probably that's not going to happen there. Like, his daughter's got her bat mitzvah coming up in a couple years, and he's like, so you'll, it's like, well, you know, you'll have to come in again in a couple years when Gladys has her, you know, whatever. But her name's not really Gladys. It's escaping me at the moment. But by dint of the fact that she's a girl, I'm imagining it's probably not going to be at the Evergreen Aerospace Museum. It's going to be at, like, at a pony ranch or something, probably. So that'll be the one that I'm in town for, because that's just the way my life works.
Well, Seattle's Museum of Flight is competing with Evergreen for some space shuttle thing and whatever they're trying to grab. Last week, the first wall of their $12 million shuttle wing was constructed. But if we do get ourselves a shuttle, then it will likely come to Portland and then be put on a barge and taken down the river. Like they did with the Spruce Goose.
Is that how they transported that thing?
Mm-hmm.
On a boat? Well, because I guess it doesn't really, they don't really fly it a lot.
No, and the roads aren't wide enough. So you basically have to put it on a barge and take it down.
Because it's
the
size of a house or something. But I mean,
it's massive.
I mean, and then the wingspan is like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's like 9 million miles across or something. Isn't that the deal is that it flew, but they didn't really ever fly it, like as a matter of regular course?
It flew, but it didn't fly very far.
Sort of badly.
Yeah.
Flew sort of like a rock flies.
I think it would be very, very expensive to fuel it.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
A high school teacher in St. Louis quit her job after her adult film star past was exposed. The Parkway School District placed Tara Myers on paid administrative leave through the end of the school year after a student confronted the science teacher about the adult films she made in the 1990s. Myers has decided not to return to Parkway North School in the fall. Back in 2006, teachers and parents stood by Myers when she was suspended from her teaching job in Paducah, Kentucky.
Is this the chick, her porn name was Crystal Guns or something?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the story. But she was suspended from a job in Kentucky in 2006.
For the same reason?
Yeah.
Okay, this has got to be her. Oh, I mean, unless there's a lot of teachers with hidden porn past that we don't know about, which is not like out of the question or anything. If this is the same woman that I'm thinking of, the story came out because some guy at some meeting stood up and said, hey, didn't you used to have a side career where you just, you humped a lot of guys? And her porn name was like, it was like Crystal Gun or Crystal Gams or something or other, which immediately led to, there was like this 2 or 3 day period where that was the most searched term on Google because everybody was wanting to see exactly who it was. And so she quit the job and ended up taking another teaching job somewhere else. And it sounds like this may have, that career choice may have followed her a bit.
Well, it says her stage name was Ricky Anderson.
Of course it was.
Spelled
okay.
Sin.
So now it's not only not that, A, it's not that woman, B, we now have at least two different teachers in America who have had to leave their jobs because they had a secret sideline as porn stars, which, C, is awesome because it proves that everything you suspected about your teacher, you know, everybody had the scorchingly hot algebra teacher or something. There's like a 40% chance that at least some of your perverse fantasies about her had a basis in reality. Awesome.
She also said back in 2006, she said making the films was her worst mistake.
Uh-huh. Let's see. How does one spell Ricky Anderson?
Is that like R-I-K-K-I, and then Anderson with an I.
Ricky so. Anderson.
Anderson.
Ooh, hello. Let's see. So I'm looking at...
she's good looking.
Some photographs of her right now.
There's a cover of apparently one of her movies that was John T. Bones, I guess that was the producer, tight ass.
Director.
Yeah.
Don. The first picture that comes up, I don't know where you're searching for this. The first picture that comes up, I swear to God, is a police composite sketch drawing of a black man.
Which just
proves, really, if you can't figure out what somebody looks like, or if you can't quite find the person you're searching for, just say that it's a black man and have the police come up with a police composite sketch and, you know, and we'll just call it good. Tell me which one of these, I don't even see this here. Tell me which one of these photos doesn't belong.
Yeah, I'd say it would be the composite sketch of the black man.
Okay. Maybe they're afraid that she's become a radicalized Muslim porn star. She's an attractive woman. I could now. I don't see any photographs of her sort of in action. All I see is photographs of her in her teaching outfit.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I'm looking to see if there's anything sort of in flagrante.
Well, you take your time with that. It's not like, you know, we have anything.
I'm just saying for the people. I mean, this seems like an important thing. So for those who are not able to. Those who are not able to Google images of porn stars right now need to have something. It's like when you go to see Titanic, but you're blind. And so then you get James Cameron whispering in your ear, you know, they step to the bow of the ship. There's a beautiful sunset breaking over the horizon. Jack lifts Rose from behind.
Or like some of the movies I go see sometimes in my capacity as a film critic, and there will be an old Korean woman who sits next to a relative who tells her what's going on through the entire movie.
Is that true?
Yes.
Excellent.
I want to kill them.
Okay.
Illinois Governor Pat Quinn signed legislation Wednesday abolishing the death penalty in his state, making Illinois the 16th state to do away with capital punishment. He commuted the sentences of 15 inmates already on death row to life without parole. Speaking at a private bill signing ceremony with a handful of death penalty opponents, Quinn said, "Since our experience has shown there is no way to design a perfect death penalty system, free from the numerous flaws that can lead to wrongful convictions or discriminatory treatment, I have concluded that the proper course of action is to abolish it. With our broken system, we cannot assure justice is done."
It's just liberal nonsense, Don.
Yes, it is. I thought I'd be, powerful about that. Walt Disney World is putting an end to grad night. When Disney made the announcement on Wednesday, grad night lets high school seniors enjoy the Magic Kingdom during late night hours in April and May, often with big name entertainment. Disney said it's become a challenge to schedule grad night during one of its busier times of the year at the theme parks. They could make more money off of families and not off of high school kids. Disney said it would offer special deals for school groups that wish to visit Disney World to celebrate graduation. The company offers a $55 one-day, one-park ticket year-round for school groups. Grad night at Disneyland in California will continue this year.
So was this a thing where they offered to close the park to everybody else?
Yeah.
And so they would, okay, so it was like a flat fee or a reduced fee or whatever if you were graduating, and then, it was a private event for that day.
Kind of, yeah. And I think it was also just the thing that everybody stayed away, too, because it's like, who wants to go to Disneyland on grad night?
If you're not going on Goth Day, why would you go on any particular?
I'm trying to think, because I think I went one of the years when I was in high school. And I think you had to show, like, your school ID to get in. So, yeah, it was kind of like a private thing that they just let kids go crazy and run all over Disneyland. Like,
bit of a money-losing proposition,
yeah,
was
well,
it?
Yeah, because I guess they just go and they ride the rides and they don't have, the same amount of spending cash that families do. So they probably weren't making, we could get whole families of people in here who are dressing their kids up in like $200 princess outfits and buying stuffed animals and eating full meals in the restaurants.
Disneyland, where an entire family can enjoy a day of fun for slightly less than $45,000.
Yes. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who will likely be running as a Republican presidential candidate in 2012, has an explanation for the fact that he's been married three times. He said, "There's no question at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked far too hard and things happened in my life that were not appropriate." Even before Gingrich offered this somewhat self-serving justification of his infidelities, commentators were calling his affairs a problem. David Frum said, "It's not the infidelity, it's the arrogance, hypocrisy, and most horrifying to women voters, the cruelty. Anyone can dump one sick wife. Gingrich dumped two."
Well, I mean, once they're sick, Don, they can't fulfill their womanly duties. I mean, what's he going to do, cook for himself? He's an important man.
Pundit Steve Bannon said, Gingrich's explanation has only fanned the flames. He said, "He's cheated on his wives in part because he worked too hard for the country. His excuse for his scandal personal life is patriotism." Critics are saying that this is relevant not only because he's seeking the vote of so-called moralists, but also because Gingrich is claiming a certain moral high ground, lecturing Americans about religious values while condemning other people's personal
lives. Well, and also because he was having an affair with his now wife when he was leading the charge for Bill Clinton's impeachment during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. You do have to, I mean, the thing about it is, though, Gingrich, as with most new school Republicans, is you got to give him points for chutzpah for just sort of, it's just because why were you cheating? Because I love America. And then he just gives you the cold, steely, unblinking gaze and just demands that you challenge him on that. Because
right,
if you do, then you lose.
If you argue, then that means you hate America.
That's the thing. So it's like it really is a form of perverse brilliance that he just, why were you stooping your secretary to fight terrorism? And then it's just a long silence in the room while he waits to see if you're going to have a problem with fighting terrorism. And, who could possibly have a problem with that, Don? So, in a strange sort of zero-sum way, it is, it is what they do best, I suppose.
Well, it's like Peter King. It's like, well, how can you possibly have a problem with the IRA? They never bombed America.
I mean, there is something to be said, I suppose, for the fact that if you're just busy around the clock and occasionally, you know, all work and no play makes new to Doughboy or whatever. But that's a sort of thing that I think maybe is not normally as flag wrapped as he's delivering this week.
So. Let's do our science news.
Here is your science on the march for Thursday, March 10th, 2000. And 11, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. It is squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. You can find out more about them and all that they do, whether it's rewiring your home or business, whether it's inspecting a place you're about to buy, a place you're about to rent from someone else, a place you are about to rent or sell to someone else, or if you have the inspection coming up, if you have an inspector heading your way, you want to make sure that you pass it the first time around, and you want to do so efficiently and economically, you contact Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. Squires Electric, if it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier.
A two-headed turtle has been born in Slovakia. It's named Magdalena, and it belongs to Roman Grisek of Slovakia, who named it Magdalena because one head is Magda and the second one is Lena. According to zoologists, Magdalena's unique case is comparable to a case of Siamese twins. During the pregnancy, the embryos did not separate correctly. Each of the heads has its own nervous system, and the tortoise has got two brains, which work independently from each other. The question remains how the systems are connected within the body and which functions they share. It also has five legs.
Let me ask you this. Well, first of all, does the article actually refer to Siamese twins by way of comparison?
It does say Siamese twins.
So I didn't think that was a thing we did anymore, but what do I
care? No, we say conjoined twins now because...
I'm not from Siam, so it doesn't really matter.
Also, Chang and Eng were also not from Siam, but that's where we get Siamese twins.
That was going to be my question, is like, does it derive from a particular set of joined twins?
Yeah, Chang and Eng were actually Chinese immigrants.
Chang and Eng?
But they were Chang and Eng. Yeah, they were the world's most famous Siamese twins. They traveled with Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Well, first of all, where is Siam? Or is that just like an international colloquialism, like Nippon?
Well, is Siam...
Or is Nippon is Siam the actual name?
Iran?
Oh, God.
I believe Iran was at one time Siam.
This is my own fault. I asked the question this time, so now we're just a hip deep in this quicksand of geographic ignorance. It's my fault. I asked the question. I take the blame for this.
Where's that atlas? Anyway, conjoined twin information I know. Chang and Eng facts I have at my disposal. Where is Siam is beyond me. Anyway, the tortoise would not survive in the wild because other tortoises would exclude her from their collective.
You think?
Having two heads and five legs can also be something of a burden. The second head sometimes doesn't allow the tortoise to know where to go, said Mr. Grisek. The tortoise, however, is heading for stardom. The Slovak press has announced that, similar to Paul the Octopus, which predicted the Spanish win in soccer's World Cup, Magdalena has been chosen to tip off the ice hockey championships, which take place in Slovakia this year.
I don't even know where Slovakia is, much less Siam. Slovakia is, someplace bad.
I think the key is it's Slovakia, and there was used to be Czechoslovakia.
Is it the Czech Republic?
Does not exist anymore. Well, it's split in half. You've got the Czech Republic and you have Slovakia. They're separate now.
All right. So I was bad on the someplace bad part of that.
Right.
Correct on that. Incidentally, Siam is what we now call Thailand.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Thailand, formerly
Persia.
Siam.
Iran was Persia.
Sure.
Yeah, because I remember because during...
Are they Iranian twins?
During the Iranian kerfuffle back in the 80s, I knew a guy who was telling... Who, when people asked where he was from, he would say he was Persian. And I was like, oh, come on!
Yeah, so apparently this is the thing that changed names from Siam to Thailand. At some point, I believe it looks like about 1932.
All right. Yale psychologists have determined that the strong yearning of collectors for celebrity possessions stems from the 14th century Black Death belief that good and bad are physically contagious properties. This conviction in the transmittable celebrity power explains why a collector paid $959,000 for Eric Clapton's guitar, Blackie, in 2004. People desire physical contact with celebrities through their possessions. George Clooney's sweater loses value after it's been washed, but not all of its value. Similarly, a replica of Clooney's sweater would not be valueless. This explains why a Blackie replica, complete with cigarette burns and belt buckle marks, fetched $42,000 in an auction on Wednesday.
I want a Blackie replica for Christmas.
While the imitation...
Is that the best that Eric Clapton could do? One of the finer artistic minds of the 20th century, and he was naming his guitar Blackie? Well, it's black. Blackie.
Call it Blackie.
The end. Okay.
Yeah. Because guitar-y just doesn't have the right ring to
it. I was
going to
go that way, but I didn't know if it was too obvious.
Strummy, my guitar. While the imitation is not valued equally to the original, the Yale team's principle of similarity explains that similar possessions have similar powers. Psychologist Dr. George E. Newman told the New York Times, cultural practices such as burning voodoo dolls to harm one's enemies are consistent with a belief in the law of similarity. An identical Clapton guitar replica with all of the dents and scratches may serve as a close proxy to Clapton's original guitar and in some way be confused for the real thing. Because it's voodoo. For people with spinal injuries or other conditions that impair use of the arms or vocal cords, or just for people who think it might be fun, the Intendix spells words based on brainwaves. A skull cap with a computer interface, the system is in development by Austrian company Gugger Technologies. It was demonstrated at CeBIT, the annual worldwide digital industry event held this year in Hanover, Germany. To pick up brain activity, the skull cap is covered in EEG electrodes. Unfortunately, the early model requires the user put gel between his or her head and the electrodes to function properly, although a dry version is in the works. The wearer stares at a computer screen, which flashes highlights over different rows in a matrix of letters and symbols set up like a keyboard on the screen. Simply by paying attention to the desired letter for a few seconds, the program can determine what the user intended to pick.
This is like that thing they had on House a while back, where it's like Taub was having the guy communicate by moving the arrow up and down. And there was like a yes on the top of the screen and a no on the bottom of the screen. And the guy was thinking, yes, yes. And then it was like, move up to, you know, like, were you in Akron last week or something?
Yeah.
And when you see stuff like that, you always assume that it's theoretically positive. That some guy saw an article somewhere and that's why they wrote it into the show. And so this is clearly the sort of the thing they were talking about, where you just focus on the letter or the word or whatever. And then it just and then it indicates it on the screen, which...
It takes a really long time, though. It takes a while. It only takes about 10 minutes to learn how to do it. But people can spell out 5 to 10 characters a minute.
Ugh.
So it would take you like a half an hour to write like 5 words.
I suppose that's the sort of thing that I should say, well, that takes forever. But as I think Louis C.K. would know, that's also the sort of thing we have no right to complain about, that you're actually moving a computer with your mind.
Yeah, and also if you're...
It takes forever,
if
though.
If you're severely handicapped and you can't do it any other way, that's...
It's all
something.
Relative. That's your grading on a curve there, I think.
And also, just think, in like 5 years, we'll all be wearing these and we'll be able to just send text messages instantaneously with our minds.
That's a great idea.
And we'll look back at this and go, remember when they could only do 5 characters a minute with these things?
It's hard to imagine how that could possibly go wrong. The idea that you can just think something and it immediately just sends to everybody in your address book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Far fewer great white sharks are cruising the waters off California than previously thought, according to researchers. The low number was a surprise, said Taylor Chappell, a doctoral student at the University of California, Davis. It's lower than we expected and also substantially smaller than populations of the other large marine predators, such as killer whales and polar bears. Counting the great white sharks was a hands-on activity. The researchers went out into the Pacific Ocean in small boats to places where great whites congregate and lured the predators into photo range using a seal-shaped decoy on a fishing line.
I wonder if the sharks felt really silly when they realized what was happening there.
Hey!
Where there is just like a stuffed animal at the end of a tether that's being dragged behind a boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they just get angry. That's all the science.
There's the end of your science on the march for Thursday. March 10th, 2011. That is Thursday, March 10th, 2011, here at Legion News at Cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at RickEmersonShow.com. That is RickEmersonShow.com. Coming up next hour, featuring...
Oh, yeah, that's...
That's wrong, isn't
that's
it?
That's wrong.
Okay.
We got a Clown Watch and a Corpse Watch.
Clown Watch and Corpse Watch coming up today. That is a little bit after 1 o'clock after a brief musical interlude at RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Unilever United States is recalling certain lots of reduced-fat Skippy peanut butter because it could be contaminated with salmonella. So far, no one has gotten sick from eating the peanut butter, according to the FDA. Included in the recall are Skippy reduced-fat creamy peanut butter spread and Skippy reduced-fat super chunk peanut butter spread.
Super chunk.
This is like that thing when we were talking on the Rick Emerson show the other day about the difference between cheese and cheese food product. If you have to call something, you know, peanut butter spread, it's not actually peanut butter.
Yeah.
What are they replacing that fat with?
I'm just wondering what makes it super chunk. I mean, they're clearly not clearly the additional chunks aren't more peanuts, or else you wouldn't have to clarify it. As you said, you wouldn't have to sort of know that it's peanut butter spread-like substance. You would just call it peanut butter with extra peanuts.
Well, also, and I wonder if that's one of those things, because it says they have a creamy one, and then they have super chunk. I wonder if that's another one of those things where...
I won't begin the day, I've got super chunk.
You can't call it chunky because that's an actual, like, FDA-regulated term or something.
I am willing to bet you all the money in my pocket the FDA does not regulate the word chunky.
They regulate the use of the word, like, chocolate or...
That's because chocolate's a thing. Well, chunky is... That's what the advertisers call puffery.
But why would you call it super chunk and not just chunky like everyone else does?
Because you can't trademark chunky.
Oh. But there was already a band called Super Chunk, so you think they wouldn't be able to trademark it?
They operate in a different realm of commerce, though.
Mm.
Unless the band is also spreadable on toast, which, you know, like, I wouldn't know. But, I mean, I suppose anything is possible. It's a big world out there. People can do whatever they set their hearts on, you know, but...
Well, salmonella can cause a potentially fatal infection in young children, the elderly, or those with weakened immune systems. Normally healthy people can suffer with fever, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and stomach pain. Fortunately, we're okay. The Skippy peanut butter was not sold in Oregon, but it was sold in 16 states. And you can go online and find out if you're in danger. But it wasn't out here on the West Coast, at least. So if you're not on the West Coast, though, check to see if you're eating. I will just say, though, just, you know, if you want to be on the safe, just eat regular peanut butter.
I was going to say, you're not really eating peanut butter anyway. If the back of it says something other than peanuts and salt, you're not eating peanut butter.
Isn't bad for you. Yeah. You don't have to eat some kind of fake lower-fat peanut butter product.
Well, I mean, and even if it were bad for you, even if peanut butter, you know, in some objective sense wasn't like all that great for you, it's still better for you than... You know, like pick anything else in the peanut butter aisle. Have you seen that stuff? They've actually started selling two different things now. They have that peanut butter and jelly that is already mixed together in the jar.
Oh yeah, that's been around for forever. It was Goobers was the one when we were kids.
But it's done. It's not done in the sort of aqua fresh way. It's done in like rock layer stripes.
Oh okay.
So it's done from the top to the. It's like the Jell-O with the Cool Whip that's already layered in the thing. So it's actually done. It's done in like
peanut
sort
butter,
of
one, two, three.
Counting the layers of clay with David Attenborough style. So they've got that. And then Reese's has actually started putting out their own peanut butter, which is designed to taste like the... It's not the same texture because that stuff is sort of powdery and dry, but it's meant to taste like the peanut butter on the inside of a Reese's peanut butter cup.
So it has like extra sugar and stuff like that.
I think at this point we'd call it extra, extra sugar, but yes.
Extra, extra sugar, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's one of those things that I would go over when I was a kid. I would go to people's houses, you know, I would go to my friend's house for lunch or for dinner or something, but if there was ever peanut butter served, I couldn't get my head around what was wrong with it, and it's because, you know, my mom had this... Crazily enough, had this whole idea that we should have actual, real, like, peanut butter. And so I couldn't figure out why everybody else, like, the peanut butter was so sweet that it would make my teeth itch. Until she actually explained to me at one point that it was, you know, that if you look at the back of that, you'll see that it's largely just a sugar type. It is a sugar product that happens to taste of peanuts ever so slightly.
Yeah, the peanut butter is also one of those rare foods that you have to be very, very careful about buying a generic brand of it or a really super cheap brand of it. Because I figured that out early that, you know, like a lot of families, you know, feeling a monetary crunch, my mom would buy cheaper versions of things. But man, the cheap peanut butter, I remember every once in a while she'd bring home, it was like, I think it was called Springfield peanut butter. And it was just awful. And then I'd go over to my best friend's house and they had Peter Pan, which was the one that had like super extra loaded with sugar.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't we have the Peter Pan? Why?
Yeah, the peanut butter is a strange... It is one of those... Every now and again, America gets an idea in their head, or science will develop an advanced version of something which really is better than nature. For example, like salt that you... Salt that we sell now is better than salt as it exists in nature, because salt in nature doesn't have iodine in it. So that's why you don't have a goiter the size of a softball on the side of your neck.
Pasteurized milk.
Pasteurized milk. Actually, compared to what you would get in nature, the orange juice that you were able to get in a store now is actually healthier for you because it's infused. It's like vitamin D infused milk. It's milk that has had an additional amount of vitamin D added to it, just as they do with orange juice.
Orange juice is also healthier than it was when we were kids because they don't have to heat it to pasteurize it to package it.
Because they
anymore.
Do the small batch. They do the weird. Well, that's the other reason why you can just get like a carton of orange juice that like is from Brazil or something. But it's just on your table this morning, and it's fine, and they've never had to freeze it, and it's also not packed with chemicals because they just do the weird pasteurization. Peanut butter, though, is at the opposite end of the spectrum, where they had something that was effectively perfect to begin with, and they just said, how can we possibly make this terrible for you? How can we make this so that it rots out your teeth and gives you a gigantic ass? Get me some sugar.
Well, the sugar thing is incidental, I think, to the thing of adding monounsaturated oils to it to, like, re-blend it so that it didn't separate. It's for shelf stability, because that's the thing with natural peanut butter is the oils separate out of it. You have to stir it up. And it does look, but that's the thing, though, is a lot of stuff is screwed with in the factory, so it looks pretty on the shelf, so you'll want to buy it. And the truth is, once that peanut butter separates, it really doesn't look very attractive.
Can you just cure that with a label?
You
should cure that by putting a sticker on the front of it?
Or put it in a, you don't have to put it in a clear jar. How about that?
If only you worked at the Procter & Gamble marketing department.
Christchurch, New Zealand sex workers are reportedly enjoying a boom in trade after last month's earthquake as stressed emergency workers turn to the world's oldest profession.
Because they love their country.
Prostitutes in the New Zealand city said an influx of foreigners helping relief efforts after the devastating 6.3 magnitude quake had left them run off their feet, which I guess means
so to speak.
Tired. The Christchurch Press reported. One sex worker, Candace, reported earning up to $1,000 a night soliciting just outside the city's cordoned-off downtown area. She told the newspaper, "In 3 years, I've never made this much before. The foreign ones are the best. They pay the most." They're saying they are stressed out and they need some stress relief.
And where is this? This is in Christchurch?
Yeah, in Christchurch, New Zealand. Another sex worker, Mary, who lost her house in the February 22nd tremor, said business was brisk. She said she's been seeing all sorts of people, not just her regular clients. She said, it's their way of dealing with it. If they can get some relief, I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Rick Emerson wholeheartedly supports this.
Candace said her clients include search and rescue staff, builders, and foreign police officers. There's just a lot of men here, she said. Lots of men without their wives, and they're going to be a bit naughty.
I'm just saying, that as we have noted many times before, that if that was a career choice that was really open to me, then you'd be listening to a lot of silence right now, because I would not be here. So that is unfortunately the universe's way of dividing up opportunity and willingness.
You know, it's never too late. You could
it is too late.
You could spiff yourself up. And,
I think it was too late when I was born with a penis.
You could be like one of those escorts.
I don't have to think of it as a man's mouth.
A fancy man. Or you could just run yourself out to ladies.
You're saying I should be a gigolo.
You should be a gigolo.
Oh,
you could do that.
Saying that I work the other side of the aisle.
No.
Look, now that Rick Emerson won't, enough zeros onto anything and I'll consider it. I mean, it doesn't, who am I? I'm not going
to
lie. I'm just saying. But you're saying I wouldn't even have to go that route. I could be a gentleman friend.
Yeah, you have a couple of nice suits. You're well-groomed.
I got all my teeth. No visible sores.
You could take a lady out on the town and then
a lot of people really you look at that. Get me somebody beaky and spindly. Ooh, sexy. Like Adrian Brody, but with no talent. That's exactly what I want.
Well, if you aim for the elderly market, their eyesight's not so good.
So if I just go and I stoop a bunch of gray hairs.
Yeah.
Well, again, I mean, hey, you got to.
They have a lot of disposable income.
Brother got to eat. So, I mean, birds got to fly. Rick Emerson got to pay the rent. So I'm not entirely opposed to that.
Lemon party at Emerson's house.
Don't ever say that again. I swear to God, I'll cut your head off and I'll kick it down a hill. I should completely do that. I should just completely announce. And the thing is, and rather than just have it be like, he was a radio host with a secret life that's been revealed and whatever, like the porn teacher. I should just totally put out a press release and just say, like, I'm also going to become an escort. Hey, starting like next week. Bam. And just do it. Just
radio
announce
host
it.
By day. Hooker by night.
But not even in like a hidden way. Just sort of, what if somebody,
Also, just on the webpage right there, it's like, rent Rick Emerson for a night.
Like, what if Jeff Gianola or somebody did that? You know what I mean? Like, what if Joe Donlan just went like, hey, in addition to reporting, the news, I'm also going to be an escort, like on weekends.
If it was Bruce Sussman, I would totally save up for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm obsessed with Bruce Sussman.
I'm just saying, it's not like, I mean, you know. And then you just turn into the skid, and then you just remove all of the, you remove any sort of, you know, stigma or shame from it, or, you know, that way you're not ambushed by a guy sticking a microphone in your face when you walk out of the house in the morning. Is it true that you're an escort? You just put out a press release in advance and say, this is the deal. I'm taking offers now. I should totally do that.
You should. You could do that.
Attention, elderly women. Do you want the sweet, yielding touch of Rick Emerson? What you only dreamed of is now available.
65 and older.
The thing is, I think my wife would actually go for that. I don't think she would find it so horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's just my guess. Well, look, I mean, it's like that trip to Mexico isn't going to pay for itself. So, you know.
Yeah, and you're bringing joy to ladies.
I'd like to thank the gay listeners who are already noting in advance that they would not pay any amount to rent me. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Because I'm too twinkish.
Did someone say that? You're too twinkish?
Thank you. Thanks.
I don't even know what that means.
It means I'm young and pretty, Don.
Oh. Well, then you should be called.
That's a
compliment.
Yes.
A Swedish bank robber forgot to cover his tracks and left 3 bottles of urine behind after hiding inside a bank vault in Copenhagen for 3 days. The 27-year-old man and his accomplice used the bottles to relieve themselves after sneaking into the vault on a Friday in May and remaining there until the bank opened again the following Monday. While inside, the robbers emptied 140 safety deposit boxes of at least $500,000 in cash and jewelry. But Prosecutor Frederick Larson said Wednesday they forgot to take the urine when they left, so we were able to get their DNA samples from the bottles. The evidence helped prosecutors win a 21-month prison sentence for the Swede on Tuesday. His accomplice is still at large, and the loot hasn't been recovered. Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday, right here at Legion of News.
TMZ reports that Charlie Sheen has received over 74,000 applications to be his social media intern. The full-time paid internship starts this summer and will run for 8 weeks. Actor Mel Gibson reached a plea deal with Los Angeles prosecutors as he pleaded no contest to a battery charge. Under the deal, which was reached on Friday, Gibson will receive no jail time. The misdemeanor originates from an incident he had back in January with his ex-girlfriend, Oksana Grigoryeva, whatever you pronounce that, who is the mother of his young daughter, Lucia. Actor Sean Patrick Flannery, who we know as Wilson from House, is joining this...
No. That's Robert Sean Leonard.
Robert Sean Leonard. Sean Patrick Flannery was in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Okay. Wait. I'm confusing him with River Phoenix in the film. Okay.
He was also in Boondock States.
Okay.
He's joining the CBS soap The Young and the Restless, where he will play a veterinarian named Sam.
Okay, but it's too bad that it isn't Robert Sean Leonard, because that would be sort of awesome if, like, he also just sidelined as, like, sex doctor or whatever.
Wouldn't
over
that
on,
be great?
Yeah.
Nobody ever does that.
On General Hospital?
James Franco did his General Hospital thing, which was just odd. But it'd be great if you had a TV
star. Oh, my God.
Who was on a hit TV show. And a soap.
How great would it be if just like to amuse himself, a guy like Johnny Depp just took a gig on a soap opera?
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking how great that would be. That would be a great little bit of publicity if you got somebody who was truly a great, a great actor, and then just decided just to amuse themselves for like 3-4 months by going working on a soap opera. Maybe
Ian McKellen joins General Hospital.
You know what I'm surprised that nobody's done? I'm surprised that nobody has done this. Like for a Nurse Betty type film, I'm surprised that nobody has taken a movie that has some sort of a loose soap opera connection or tie-in or subplot, and actually then worked that into the real life soap opera. Because you got to figure at the very least, everybody who watches that soap opera, who then learns who comes to know that character, would then go see the movie in the theater.
Yeah.
So like if they had what's his name from Nurse Betty actually on, you know, some real life equivalent of that show. And because then Nurse Betty was like a fictitious sitcom, I think. Isn't that the deal? Renee Zellweger was obsessed with some guy who was in. But if they had just not used a fictitious show, if they had used a real soap opera like One Life to Live or The Edge of Wetness or whatever, and they had just had the guy star on that show, that would have been an interesting marketing campaign.
That would be. Look how smart you are.
I'm just saying, you know, these ideas are just sitting here. They didn't use it because I'm too twinkish, Don.
Guillermo del Toro will direct Pacific Rim. A picture which starts principal photography in September, and hits theaters in 2013.
I thought he was directing your thing about the tentacled thing from beyond the color of whatever.
Yeah, the Mountains of Madness.
Yeah.
They just announced that was going to start production in June. So I don't know. Is that he might be doing pre-production for that while he's shooting this, because it says they're going to start principal photography in September. He says, we started developing Pacific Rim a while ago with a mad passion and enthusiasm of a project unwatched and unchecked by politics or comparisons, he said in a statement. We designed and shepherded the movie we want to make.
And this is what movie?
It's called Pacific Rim.
So this is not your movie?
No, this is not my movie.
So Aaron was just toying with you?
No, I think he really is attached to that, but I think that they're just beginning to develop it, beginning pre-production in like June, and then they're going to start directing this in September, and they're going to overlap.
They're on parallel tracks.
Yes.
Okay.
Oscar nominee Julianne Moore has signed on to play Sarah Palin in a new HBO movie. The team behind HBO's...
Oh, Game Change.
Yes.
Yeah.
The team behind HBO's recount about the 2000 election is adapting the script of Mark Halperin and John Heilman's Game Change for a movie about the Republican side of the race. It will follow Senator John McCain's run from the time of his selection of then-Alaska Governor Sarah Palin as his running mate to their November defeat.
Did you watch Recount?
No, I
Recount
never saw
is stunningly good.
Is it really?
It is amazingly good. Well, you know, HBO, pound for pound, HBO has the best made-for-television movies, like, on Earth. If you think about the movies that HBO has done in terms of made-for-TV, they did The Late Shift, they did Barbarians at the Gate, they did Weapons of Mass Destruction by Larry Gelbart, which is unbelievably good. So they did Live from Baghdad with Michael Keaton and Helen Bonham Carter, which is excellent. HBO does the best. They did, it wasn't The Bronx is Burning. They did, I think they may have done... Was it 66? Is that what it was called? It was the Billy Crystal thing about Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris.
Oh, yeah.
So HBO has fantastic made-for-television films. But Recount with Kevin Spacey is one of those, and it's all about the 2000 election, you know, the Florida controversy between Bush and Gore. And it's one of those movies where you wonder what they're possibly going to show you that you didn't already know. You're like, well, I know the whole thing. But, of course, the deal with every movie like that is you realize how little of it you did know and how much of it you've forgotten. And they pull off the best compliment that I can possibly give these guys is when they did the movie Recount, which I think came out like 3 years ago. So that would have been 2008. So less than 10 years after the Florida thing actually happened, the best compliment I can give them is that, not unlike Titanic, I actually forgot how the whole thing ended for large sections of the film. And Laura and I were talking about it later, then we both kept having the whole thing of, like, you know, crossing our fingers, thinking that Gore was going to pull it out at the end, because you got so completely enveloped in the, just drawn into the story. And Game Change, I have not read, but I've read other books by Mark Halperin, and he's a great author, and it's apparently going to be quite a project. And Julianne Moore, that's a real pull, you know, to get her as Palin.
And then on the other end of the quality scale, Sylvester Stallone will not write or direct The Expendables 2.
That's too bad.
Stallone is meeting with directors for the project, whose script has been penned by David Agosto and Ken Kaufman, who were responsible for Space Cowboys and Curious George.
I wish I was dead.
Yeah. So there you go. That's all of your entertainment.
Really? Are we ending on that? We're ending on the phrase Curious George?
Do you care that Adrina Partridge is single?
No.
No. See, then that's it. That's all we got. Ja Rule's going to prison. That's all we got.
Okay. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program, today featuring a corpse watch and...
I believe it's...
I was totally bluffing there.
Oh, were you?
Corpse and penis, clown and corpse, corpse and cannibal.
Yeah, something like clown watch.
You know what we've never had? We've never had a cannibal and a corpse watch.
No. Together on the same day?
Yeah, sort of. Doesn't matter. Did you ever... Were you the... I guess it was Greg that I was talking to. I'm confusing you with Greg Nibbler for some reason. I didn't show you that that footage of
it's
Jesse...
It's my stocking cap.
It's your beard.
Yeah.
I didn't show you that footage of Jesse Jackson meeting death metal stalwarts, a cannibal corpse at a Belgian airport.
No, you did not.
It's awesome. Listener Aaron in the OC sent it to me. So Cannibal Corpse, purveyors of such hit songs as Skullful of Maggots, were at a Belgian airport. I'm like, there's Jesse Jackson. And I guess they were getting ready to go on tour or something. And so you hear one of the guys go, dude, I think it's totally Jesse Jackson over there. And so then there's the most surreal footage of Jesse Jackson talking to the guys in Cannibal Corpse. And then they all pose for a photograph of him at the end, you know. And it's all like, you know, and they're all wearing their, you know, their obligatory death metal shirts that say things like, you know, blended fetus on the front or whatever. And, you know, and they're doing the devil horns and sticking out their tongues. And there's Jesse Jackson in his suit looking, you know, just like Jesse Jackson. It's awesome. So you can see that on the Intertron. It's out there lurking somewhere. Here's Don Taylor.
John Cassidy wrote a piece for The New Yorker about New York's bike lobby, as he calls it. The writer, who likes tooling around town in his Jaguar, argues in his piece that New York already has entirely too many bike lanes, as evidenced by all the traffic and the fact he has trouble finding a place to park. So
it couldn't have anything to do with the fact that you live in a city that has 50 billion people and it's the size of a postage stamp.
Yeah. Basically, the gist of his article was that street space should not be set aside for bike lanes. It should be set aside for free parking for his Jaguar.
I guess if only that were possible. If only the streets weren't so ungodly narrow to begin with.
Cassidy is also annoyed by the politics of it all. He views, quote, the Bloomberg bike lane policy as a classic case of regulatory capture by a small, faddish minority intent on foisting its bipedalist views on a disinterested or actively reluctant populace.
It's bipedalist views?
Bipedalist views. A small, faddish minority. Okay. Foisting their bipedalist views.
Does he know what bipedal... Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Writer Felix Salmon responded by saying, "It so happens I've met Mr. Cassidy a few times, and he always looked perfectly bipedal to me."
Yeah, I was just going to say, assuming he walks upright. All right.
Salmon also wrote, "It can hardly have escaped Cassidy's notice on his regular peregrinations from car to restaurant and back that New York streets are positively bustling with bipedal life. There's a good reason for this. New York is a very dense city in which 8 million or so bipeds, birds not included, cram themselves into a rather small area. If everyone in New York had a car as big as Cassidy's," he says, "we turn the city into something more akin to Manhattan, Kansas."
Yeah, I mean, it's a city that was originally designed for foot traffic and horse-drawn carriages.
Yeah.
So that really is, that goes a long way to explaining why your car, I don't know how anybody, I mean, you know, it's that thing that you sort of, that you hear a lot growing up and you don't really, I think, get it, you know, until you see New York or a city like that, where you hear people talk about going 50 years or 60 years and never owning a car, and you wonder how that's possible. But it's not really, it's not even how do you get along without a car. I just wonder what the point of even owning a car there would be. I mean, unless you spend a lot of time outside New York, like outside the boroughs, you just have to ask yourself, like, what? It seems like owning a car is just throwing away money there. I cannot even imagine what a commute to get somewhere in New York is like.
I think that the only time I've ever seen it really expressed on television, I think, in a proper way, was on Seinfeld, when there would be this thing of, like, you know, they need to get out of the city for some reason. Can I borrow your car
right.
for the day?
Right.
You know, there was this whole series when Kramer got a car and then had to keep finding new places to park it on the street. You know, it's just like he never took it anywhere. But then, you know, one side of the street, like, every other day was, like, cleared for street cleaning or something. So I had to keep moving. So, yeah, you would have a car. Someone might have a car, but you wouldn't use it often.
That is, see, New York is one of those cities, and I don't think they have anything like this. New York is one of those places where they ought to have, like, one of those, like, zip car services like we have here, mm-hmm. where you can just sort of, like, borrow a car for the day, as opposed to like, I think it was our friend Jim Roop, CNN Los Angeles, who had come to Portland and was just astounded at the idea that there was a place where you could just go and, like, I don't know, like, stick $5 in a box and they'd give you a car for a while.
The thing is, in New York, I don't think that you could have places where you just park cars and let them sit there waiting for someone to show up and use them.
Well, that's what he was saying about Los Angeles. Like, you come back and there's just going to be a couple of lug nuts on the ground and some broken glass. I mean, that's it. That was around the same time at Portland, in one of our well-intentioned but ill-advised schemes to get everybody sort of, you know, healthier and, reduce our carbon footprint or whatever. We had to think of just, like, having a bunch of bicycles everywhere that you could just sort of borrow, and that lasted, like, an hour and a half until they were all melted down from meth scrap somewhere. So, you know, what are you going to do? All right, with that, we bring the curtain down on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News. You can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. We will be back again tomorrow at noon. Don't forget, today, following a brief musical interlude, we'll have the Rick Emerson Show at rickemersonshow.com. At the news desk, it's Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. And we thank you for listening. Have a safe and satisfying Wednesday. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for Legion of News.